the morning.
Wake up time!
Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
I think we might see an entire seismic shift, to overuse that word that everybody uses and on occasions like this, across college sports, meaning that football will govern itself, football will have its own affiliations, football will have its own championship, football will have its own recruiting rules, its NIL rules, its guardrails, its collective bargaining for revenue sharing with television money, perhaps. And the other sports will sort of fall under a different umbrella. I guess it's possible that men's basketball could do that, but I think it's more likely, at least for the foreseeable future, that football goes one way, everybody else does something else. What kind of timeline that takes, things are moving really fast right now. So I would think that's a long-term theme, but long-term these days, you know, might be 5, 6, 7 years.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol on this Friday, July 1st. We're into July, and it is the start of a three-day weekend. Maybe you're already off today, making it a four-day weekend. Maybe you just decided, you know what, Friday, forget about it. I'm on my way to the lake. I'm out of here. But if you're working today, you're probably listening to us if you're working today. If you're not working today, you're probably not up. This is a message in for you, but maybe
could be up. They could be up looking at the 38th spot.
It could be. If you are, you're seeing my
good morning to this.
My very beautiful face, bespeckled face. Todd Lebo is with me one last day. You're leaning at the tape, buddy. How we feeling?
Good.
Oh, you're good. Yesterday you were kind of struggling through this.
A little tired. I went to bed so early last night. I slept so well.
Did you?
I didn't get the chirp of the smoke detector at 1 in the morning last night.
You and I are the opposite. I could not sleep last night. I did.
Like a baby.
Man, I fell asleep. I did this thing. This is the habit I get into sometimes. Fall asleep for 30 minutes. Wake up with restless legs. Toss and turn for the next 30 minutes. Realize that it's a fool's errand. Get up and try to stretch my legs out for 20 minutes to see if that'll help. Realize that it doesn't. Go downstairs, lay on the couch, have a bowl of cereal.
I don't think you're supposed to get up and eat.
I don't think so either, but I did. And I watched some SportsCenter and laughed at the whole Brooklyn Nets situation.
Yeah.
How Kyrie Irving said, I'm going to keep my commitment to this Brooklyn Nets team.
KD said, I'm out with KD.
And KD said, peace.
Nope.
Kind of like the teams in the Pac-12.
Yeah,
Isn't it funny how that works in college athletics.
It was interesting yesterday. So 10 years ago, 12 years ago, we knew something was afoot with college realignment because I remember Jim Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, at their like winter meetings or something, mentioned something, and people were kind of put it in the back of their mind, and then it became a reality, and it was an insane summer, and it was over and over, and it took months for it to all get
figured
out.
Well, you had people talking about it. You know, you had the governor of Missouri talking about it. Everyone was in on it. People from Oklahoma talked. They were talking about it.
So then last year, I'm on vacation. It's later in July. And I get a text from someone saying, look at this tweet. And I said, that's not going to happen. Oklahoma and Texas aren't going to leave the Big 12. And lo and behold, within a few days, it became apparent. And then they actually confirmed it. You know, it was about a week later. Yesterday, I left this building at 10:30. I went out and did hits at Rawhide Harley-Davidson. By the way, they're open right now because they were open all night long. They had a party. There's an interesting motorcycle challenge going on called the Hoka Hay Challenge, where these motorcycle riders, they had to go to, they started in South Dakota. They gave them a piece of paper that says, you need to go to Rawhide Harley-Davidson in Olathe, and you have to follow these roads to do it. And then when they get there, they give them a piece of paper. They had no idea where they're going next. Then they had to drive all the way to Utah. And then they got a piece of paper, and they got to go. Anyway, these people are still out there riding motorcycles. It's to raise money for charity. It's amazing. So they are still open right now. So they're not normally open at 6 in the morning. Go by Rawhide Harley and say hello to the folks, because they're there right now. So I go there. I'm sitting there. You know, we're doing hits and talking to people and looking at motorcycles and all that. And I get a text from some buddies that said, look at this. And now it's 6:05 in the morning the next day. This stuff was done last night. Agreed to. Bing, bang, boom. Date set. I mean, it's fast forward. It's insane. I did not leave here yesterday to go to Rawhide Harley and think, you know what? I'll bet two of the biggest names in college athletics in the West Coast are going to be in the Big Ten. I didn't think that. And then within like 4 hours, done. Statements out in the game. It's freaking crazy. And they may not be done.
Oh, you know? They're not.
They're not.
They're not. I mean, they're not.
That Reese Davis clip there. I mean, football has kind of generally been separated because it's not part of, you know, the NCAA tournament is how they run all their championships and all those things. Football's got their bowl games. They've got their stuff. It's been a little bit different before, but I don't think it's tenable for these universities to play the other sports in this fashion. I don't think UCLA baseball and will be going to Penn State. I don't think that makes sense.
It's just absurd.
Because
it's absurd.
There are so many games, and there's so much. You're flying across the country. Maybe it's not as many people, but you still got to get them across there. It doesn't make sense that those things can happen. Maybe they will. I mean, right now West Virginia's coming out here to play baseball. I mean, they're doing these things, but this one. You're stretching the whole country. BYU to West Virginia, BYU to UCF is a long way. Let me tell you something. UCLA to Maryland, UCLA to Rutgers. That's a stretch, man, to go play all these little other ancillary things that you're involved
in. It's like a five-hour flight, isn't it?
Forever.
Easy.
Football's football.
Maybe
you're not
6
playing,
hours.
You're not playing 48 football games, okay? I see, and I was listening this morning. I was driving into, you know, Keyshawn Johnson on ESPN radio. He's worried about the travel and these kids' bodies, you know, at 9 in the morning, you're out there at all. It's not that bad. You're going to play 5 road games, 6 road games. Some of those will be, I mean, you're going to play UCLA, USC. That's going to be an automatic one right there. You're playing every year in the Victory Bell game or whatever it's called. They're not going to have those guys traveling all over too much. Let's not hear about that part of it. And by the way, we've been talking about this. What did we say yesterday? This is professional athletics.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Yes.
So you know what? If you're going to be playing professional athletics, you know what? You're going to have to get up and go play football at a time that's not great for you. So we won't have any bitching about that. Sorry. If this is what this is going to be, this is the way it will be. Because once you open Pandora's box and say, you can have the NIL money, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all right, well, we're going to go make as much money as we can to go do that. And the best way for the Pac-12 to do it is to go get aligned with someone else. So the thing that was hilarious last night, I saw this tweet. We've joked about the Pac-12 network has never been able to get off the ground or whatever. So last night, Big Ten Network had broken in, was doing coverage of this. You know, people on, experts on, and Pac-12 was showing old volleyball games. So that's why USC and UCLA are leaving. They want to be a part of something. It's not that big a deal out there in the Pac-12 to do these things, and it's crazy, but that's a wild day, and it doesn't affect us yet, but it might, you know, because nothing is forever.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to have an effect on the Big 12.
The Big 12 should be trying to get more people in. They should be trying to protect the people there, because if the Big 10's not done, Maybe Kansas is someone who the Big Ten would like to have their basketball tradition with. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I don't know. These Oklahoma and Texas are already leaving, so they're proving someone can get out of these grant of rights, or maybe they'll stay till 25. I don't know.
So, all right, coming up on the show, we're going to be talking about this a lot today, of course. Stan Weber will join us. He's going to be on the phone.
I'll bet he doesn't have any thoughts about it.
He might have a thought
doesn't
or two.
Doesn't even care.
He might have a thought or two at 6:30. We'll have him for an hour and a half today. And then a weather forecast, the big weekend weather forecast we've been waiting for from Gary Lezak. And then Tim Grunhard's going to join us at 9 o'clock. And we got a lot of sound to play in between now and then. So we have a lot to get to. If you are just joining us, the news of the day, you heard the, or if you were living under a rock yesterday and off of social media and all that, the news came out yesterday on Twitter that UCLA and USC are leaving to go to the Big 12. That report came out, I don't know, what time during the day? I mean, I felt like it was in the middle of the day when I saw it.
Well,
at first.
Let me go back to my my little neighborhood text string. That's where I first saw it. 12:32.
Okay. And within hours, there were official statements from...
At 6:49 yesterday, USC, their official account said, we will join the Big 12 conference in 2024. So we're talking
Big
about
Ten.
6 hours.
Big 10.
Big 10. I said Big 12.
Yeah.
Big 10. They're not coming to the Big 12.
Just making sure, because you know how
Big,
that'll go,
yes,
people.
Big 10. Big 10, which doesn't have 10. Teams. The Big 12 doesn't have 12.
And the Pac,
of course.
12 doesn't have 12 anymore.
Well, it does for now, but it won't. And maybe it will.
And it used to have 10.
They changed their name at least.
Yeah.
That made sense. So we're talking about a 5 or 6 hour ordeal is what it was yesterday. Not weeks.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like, oh, this is happening, and then everybody was scrambling to figure out who's going to do what. It was like, yep, this is happening. And then the Pac-12 put out a statement, and we'll get to that in just a second. But the thing that I loved the most when I saw this was Jeff Goodman put out a tweet yesterday afternoon from August 24th of last year, so not even a full calendar year ago. The ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 today announced an historic alliance that will bring 41 world-class institutions together on a collaborative approach surrounding the future evolution of college athletics and scheduling.
Yep.
Remember that alliance?
Yep. Didn't make it a year.
That old alliance was that was like, hey, okay, we're all together, right? We're all together. Yeah, we're together. And then, okay, hey, can we go somewhere else? You think there's somewhere better for us? What do you think? I said Eli Drinkwitz got into the action. And tweeted out,
He has to look up the definition of alliance again.
Yeah, yeah. He said, I'm going to need to revisit what the word alliance means, monocle emoji. And I said, well, that's kind of like what the word commit means in recruiting. I always love that. I've committed to Kansas.
Have you?
Until there's a better offer.
Exactly.
sometimes you get the soft verbal commitment. It's a soft commitment. It's not a commitment. It's a soft commitment. And even my commitment's not really a commitment, because to commit to something, you know, means that that you're invested, you stick with it no matter what, right?
Yeah, words don't mean anything anymore.
No, words don't mean anything anymore at all. We just changed the definition of what they are, especially in college athletics, kind of like nonprofit. Is thing going to be a nonprofit when college football goes off on its own? Will it be a nonprofit?
For tax purposes, I'm sure.
Get the F out of here. I am, come on. I pay taxes, man. You know, like I have to pay taxes. These greedy, lying, stealing, cheating, untrustworthy, no good, money grubbing people running college athletics get to claim nonprofit while they're doing everything they can for money. Are USC and UCLA doing this because it's what's best for the student-athlete experience as a student, primarily?
No.
No, of course not. Only, I mean, it's... And by the way, I understand what you're saying about, with NIL. This isn't a reaction to NIL. NIL is a reaction to this.
It all goes together.
It all goes together.
Yeah.
They've been making decisions based on money since going back to the first conference realignment and probably before that. You know, but that was when they really decided this stuff is all secondary to the money.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is secondary to the money. When all these schools started leaving and going to different conferences. And that's what rules this whole thing. How in God's green earth can you call yourself a nonprofit? Get out of here. We'll talk more. We'll play some sound. Because all that matters now is where it's headed next, right? And there's report. Big 12 going to poach the Arizona schools, maybe Utah, maybe Colorado. That's all on the table now. Can the Big 12 become one of these power football conferences in the new Super
Bowl? We had talked for years about maybe 4 16-team leagues. And what you better watch out for is you don't want to be hanging around with 12 and have someone go to 20 before you get to 16. So I think that's what's happening now behind the scenes.
Everybody's going to be scrambling for a seat at the table. All right, we'll take a break. More conference realignment, a seismic shift. Once again, in college athletics, after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Is this the right time to have the Rock Nation guy taking over your league?
I don't know.
It seems to me like the Big 12 was looking at the landscape and said, what's the most important thing for us? TV deals and NIL. Let's get somebody that's got media experience and experience figuring out the business world and making money. Was it in fact more important to have a commissioner who has real relationships all over college athletics, particularly college football, to navigate the next wave of conference realignment because one of the five power conferences is about to disappear?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, this Pac-12 guy is a new guy, right? He came from MGM.
Yep.
He comes out there, and he just basically, I'm sure they've had meetings already.
Bob Bowlesby.
He did. He got lied to, or not lied to, just not told, you know.
Probably lied to.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, probably lied to.
You know.
We had an alliance.
Here's the deal. Like when Bob Bowlesby, they go to these Big 12 meetings a year and a half ago, they probably didn't stand up at the beginning of each one. Hey, are you still going to be in our league? Yes.
Right,
and, you know, like not lied in that way, but.
Lies of omission or commission.
Yes. It's an expectation that you're not working behind the scenes to leave. And that's what Oklahoma and Texas were doing. And that's what obviously USC and UCLA were doing. Because they saw these other guys do it. Well, sure, let's do that.
I mean, they definitely were going through with plans to do other things with this conference.
Now, maybe they were sitting there playing Candy Crush while everyone was voting on something. I don't know. Maybe not paying attention to these meetings and just, like, sitting around. But I still want to see a real oral history of 30 for 30 about the real behind-the-scenes crap of all this stuff. Because we still haven't seen something about that. I'm very curious about what happened with Oklahoma and Texas. Like in these meetings and how they were doing it and who called who and whatever. Give me some emails, some text chains from like President whatever the hell from SEC and President what's his face from Texas. You know what I mean? I want to know those things. I guess it doesn't really matter because it is what it is at this point. But you can learn from that stuff because clearly someone was learning something from it out at the USC and UCLA. Because as you said, ACC, Pac-12, and Big Ten had unified against the SEC, basically, is what they were doing last August.
It was an alliance.
Yes. And, hey, they're still an alliance. They just got some guys in different clubs now. I mean, I guess they're all USC and UCLA are still in that alliance. They're just on a different part
they
of
just, the alliance. They just, that's right.
That's how they sleep at night.
Let's hear Kirk Herbstreit, who gives his thoughts on now the future of college football.
Keep your seatbelt on because they're not done. It's very, very hard for the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 to compete with the Big Two. And honestly, I think that's our future. I haven't spoken with anybody, but I think that's where this thing, when the dust settles, that's where we're going to be. With about 50 to 55 teams, half of them in the Big Ten, half of them in the SEC. For simplifying it, think AFC, NFC, and the NFL.
I hope it's not that. I hope there's, you know, 4 16-team leagues or something of that nature, because I don't think it's the idea. Well, the old ideas are all gone, but the idea of having a conference is that you played like everybody or almost everybody. And I thought 12 was a really good number for that, because although you didn't play everyone every year in football, you did play everyone every year in basketball. The scheduling model worked out perfect. You had a division where you played two in basketball and you played everyone in the other one every other year at home, so you'd get to play whatever. And football, same thing, over 4 years. Let's say, for instance, someone went to the same school for 4 years, some odd thing like that. You got to play everyone in football at your place and their other place. I thought that was a nice, really good way to have a schedule. And now with 14 in the SEC and 14 in the Big Ten, and the SEC at this point still just playing 8 games, you're on a 14-year deal. It's so you wouldn't play everyone at their place and the other place for a 14-year cycle. Unless, of course, there's COVID and they draw them out of a hat and somehow Missouri has to play Alabama and LSU that year. Besides that, you know, so if you're going to have 25 teams in a league, then you're not even – what's a league champion of that if you haven't even played even a thought of – unless you're going to have a little playoff. That's what happens in the NFL. The NFL, they have playoffs at the end. And I don't mind that. I love the tradition of the bowls. We'll probably argue with Stan about this in a little bit. Bowls are fine. Whatever. But if they want to have a playoff like they have in Division II football and the FCS football, then I don't mind if there's a whole bunch of teams in a league, because at least you'll find a way to get through it at the end.
Okay, so if they go to a 64-team...
He was talking about 55 teams in it in the power football is what he was saying there.
55 to 64. Either way, a bunch of teams that are in Power 5 conferences right now will be left out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to them?
I guess they just go about their business of educating people and playing sports at a low level where you don't expect to be a professional at the end, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, they're not going to get rid of their football programs, are they?
I don't think so, but they might.
Maybe like... what it is in Premier League soccer, they get delegated to Division II.
I mean, they play football at Washburn University.
Yeah,
okay?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, so, there's Division II,
yeah,
you know, and all that.
They
so
play
is there
football,
a new subset? Like, there's FBS and FCS right now. Is there going
to
be an F?
Maybe you just go down to FCS.
FDS.
I don't know, man. Anything's on the table, I would guess. It's wild. I don't know.
I just think that, and if your schools like Iowa State, Kansas State.
You'd want to be in that party because you want your
TCU,
piece of the pie.
Texas
right?
Tech. Like, all these schools are schools that got to be just freaking out.
Yeah.
Over this. Because they're just not as big as these other schools. Their footprints aren't as big. Their enrollment isn't as big. Their stadiums aren't as big. You know, and if college football is going, we're going to go to 55 or 64. They're going to take the biggest. Look at the size of the places that are leaving places. You know, Texas and Oklahoma, how big are their stadiums? You know, how big are their enrollments?
85,000.
You know, USC and UCLA. Those are the ones.
That's mostly just about Los Angeles. I mean, that's to me, there's the big schools, but that's mostly about the Big Ten wants a real presence in the second biggest media market. That, I mean, why is Rutgers in the Big Ten?
Yeah,
because they think it's part of New York City, and it's not. But right. they can feel like, oh wow, look at us, we're in New York City.
Yeah, but like they didn't take Stanford.
No, they didn't.
And Stanford's got like one of the best athletic departments in the country. They win everything. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Stan Weber will join us next. I was trying to plan out our schedule and who's going to be joining us on the show and all that, and I was thinking to myself, okay, we got to come up with some good topics for Stan Weber.
Yeah,
because
it's not really football season.
Kind of downtime. This is like the quiet. This is like the only quiet time before football really starts to ramp up. Because here in the next couple of weeks, we got training camp. We we got college football players reporting to school and all that stuff.
This is your really bad week where there's nothing going on because it's the 4th of July holiday.
We always have a good time talking to Stan. We'll find out. We'll figure something out, you know. But what are we going to talk about? Well, well, what are we going to talk about today? Yeah. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, guys.
You, this is, of course, we always love having you in studio, but you're on the phone today. So can you tell us where you are? Why are you on the phone with us today?
Well, it's not because new Big 12 commissioner Brett Yormack had me do a secret rendezvous out to Phoenix to talk to Arizona State and Arizona. Just that maybe someone thought, but no, actually, I've got big plans with four children. You got certain big days of their lives, and tomorrow my oldest son and first young man in our family is going to be getting married in Columbia. Columbia, South Carolina. Stanton came out here to help coach the South Carolina football team the last couple years. And when he took the job to come out here and work at South Carolina, I said to my wife, I think this is God's plan to have him get married. And sure enough, here it is. It's happening tomorrow. Natalie Werner is his future wife tomorrow evening. And so the party has begun yesterday. And one of the funny things here is that her dad, Ricky, is a super fan of South Carolina football. He loves South Carolina football. He went to South Carolina. He grew up in the area. But his career out doing sales work with Western Wear and that kind of thing has taken him around the country. In fact, he lived in Wichita for 5 or 6 years. He also has lived in Knoxville, Tennessee. But every weekend, he found a way to fly back. If South Carolina had a home football game, he would come back and watch the Gamecocks play. That's how big a fan he's been his whole life and how dedicated he's been to South Carolina football. Well, finally, he's made his way back to Columbia. He lives here now, getting closer to retirement. And so he's all about South Carolina football. And they're so excited that Stanton is going to be marrying their daughter. And things are coming together very well. Well, he's so excited about football, guys. Can you just see this unfolding? The reception for the wedding is going to be held in the zone. The zone is like the Shamrock Zone at K-State football, that new end zone party area.
You're going to be
the
at the stadium.
At South,
oh,
it's
that's
the
awesome.
Stadium end zone party area. So they are having a reception at a football stadium. Now, they think that's all just because of their dad, but they do not have any idea how much our family and I love football. So it's just hilarious that this is their idea to have it at the zone. And I go, wow, I was a starting quarterback in that stadium against South Carolina when I was in school. So I've been there before, and it looks kind of like Arrowhead Stadium. It's a college stadium that was built to look like an NFL stadium for a long, long time. And I played against a South Carolina team that was ranked for much of that year in the top 10 in the country. And we're going back and celebrating there. And it's so funny that they're doing it because they love football. And you go, you've picked the right family, because we feel very comfortable that Stanton's going to have a wedding reception at the football stadium.
Sounds like a match made in heaven is what it sounds like.
I was just going to say that exact same sentence. You said it was God's plan, is a match made in heaven. well, that's fantastic, Stan.
Congratulations to Stanton.
Yeah,
he's a great
absolutely.
Young man, and we've known him for a long time.
Got
you know?
To have him in studio last year, you know, when he was in town for a little bit, and that was really cool to see him getting his coaching career started the way that sounds like it's going pretty well so far.
Yeah, and he's with a great coach in Shane Beamer, the famous Frank Beamer from Virginia Tech. It's his son who's become he got his first head coaching job at South Carolina. So Stanton joined him in the very first year, and they exceeded expectations last year. After having a bad year 2 years ago, he comes in his first year as head coach. They become bowl eligible and go whip Mac Brown's North Carolina team in the Belk Bowl. So they got off to a good start. People are excited around here, and it's so much fun when you talk about this part of the country and the Beamer family, because he is to Virginia Tech what Bill Snyder was to K-State. And so Stanton, to have the connectivity between those two guys, to be associated with the Beamer family, and obviously grew up playing under Bill Snyder coaching, and obviously as a fan, loving it. So there's a lot of connectivity in there. So even though we're a long, long ways from home, we don't know a lot of the people here. We really appreciate all the people that are traveling out this way. Hopefully their plane flights do not get canceled. As you know, that's a big issue. But a lot of people coming from the central United States out here to find out and meet this other family. So it should be a lot of fun. We know we have one thing big in common. We love us some football.
Yeah, for sure. That's the South Carolina Sooners now, right? Spencer Rattler's over there. He's already on campus.
Exactly.
And Shane Beamer. Shane Beamer was an assistant.
Assistant.
Yeah, at Oklahoma. So they had got a couple kids, a tight end and a quarterback are there. That's football now, though, right? Could be someplace one time, and about 6 months later, could be somewhere else. And we're not going to get deep into the conference stuff yet because we have to take breaks in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll save that till 7 to get deep into it. But I'm sure there's some seismic shockwaves running around in the thoughts of you guys at this point on that. But we'll get much deeper into that as we go. But real quick on South Carolina, they've got to feel like the needle is pointing up for them, right?
Yeah, I think so. The fans are, you know, they've got a giant stadium, a big following, and a pretty good football history here. Not the dominant, you know, be the best in the SEC East or anything like that, but definitely good football. But they went through a little bit of bad times. But to them, you know, when they see good coaching come around, and it looks like, you know, hey, it's hard when you're a brand new coach. So, you know, it's not going to be easy for Shane Beamer. And we talked to Gary Barnett a lot of times on College Football Game Day with me and Danny, Todd, and you guys have him on every week in football season. And he says, what? The second year is really, really hard for a new football coach. So we'll see how it goes with Coach Beamer here. But, you know, they think they know what a good coach looks like. Think about this. Lou Holtz was here for a while and got them going. You know, he was past his Notre Dame days and things like that. It looked like he was over the hill, but he got South Carolina football going. They in his first year, I think, didn't win a game. And by the next year, they were really good and turned into a Lou Holtz type of team. And then the other guy, another giant name, is Steve Spurrier.
Head ball coach.
Steve Spurrier here, who came here after he'd already left Florida, after he'd been a Washington NFL head coach, came here and got South Carolina going. And Shane Beamer actually was an assistant for many years under Steve Spurrier. That's why there's the connection here. That's why he was willing with his family to come back and be the head coach at South Carolina after leaving the special teams coordinator job that he had at Oklahoma for a couple of years. With Lincoln Riley, he decided to come out here and be the head coach, and it was a match because he'd been assistant here long enough with the old ball coach. So he feels like he knows how to win at South Carolina. But, you know, guys, it isn't easy because I'm in Columbia, and back home where you are, obviously there's another Columbia where Mizzou is, and South Carolina and Mizzou are always fighting in that middle part of the pack to try to make their way up toward the top. And there's, you know, been Florida and Tennessee at times where they were the great teams. And now you look around, you say, look at Georgia, oh my gosh, and then Florida might be the other team. There's a continual fight here. It's not easy, we know that, and just the games between the two Columbias, Mizzou and South Carolina, are always great games, and expect more of the same. But the thing that South Carolina has going against it more than anything else, Todd, how about this? you have a little rivalry in the non-con, not in conference. You play in the SEC mm-hmm. in conference play, and then you get a little chance to play a non-con game at the end when you're a little worn out. Clemson.
Yeah, a little in-state
Clemson
battle with Clemson.
Is in South Carolina. How about that? Oh, great, we got another game. Not, we're out of the SEC. Get a non-con game. Uh-oh, it's Clemson. Now, Clemson has not always beaten up on South Carolina, but since they've been at national championship level here for the last 6, 7, 8 years, that has not been fun to have that be on your non-conference schedule. So it won't be easy, but I'll tell you what, Shane Beamer is a really great guy. I mean, I've gotten a chance to get to know him unbelievably. When he offered Stanton the job, Stanton said, well, I want to take the job. He goes, I don't want you to take the job until I talk to your dad first. I don't know how that all came about. But anyway, I had a conversation with a half hour at least with Coach Beamer before he even hired Stanton to come here. So it was a lot of fun. He talked about how hard it must be to have your son leave home because he'd been a K-Stater his whole life, working at K-State under Chris Klieman and all that. And he goes, hey, I left Virginia Tech. I know exactly what it's all about. I was there with my dad. We love Virginia Tech. It's our school. And he talked a lot about that, about Stanton, you know, taking a risk and going out on his own and doing something away from K-State. So it was – Shane Beamer is a great guy. He reminds me a lot of Chris Klieman. I mean, this modern coach, guys, that has the capability of understanding the discipline and the focus you got to have your team play successfully, but with a modern attitude of being easy to love for the players and being approachable. You know, it's amazing. They kind of mix the best of Frank Beamer and Bill Snyder and keep those things going, but do it with a whole new modern approach. And it's really interesting to watch it unfold. And I think Chris Klieman is just hitting his stride at K-State now that COVID's done and everything else. It is his program. You look at how well he's recruiting, what happened beating LSU in the bowl game, the seasons that K-State has had, the things that they're doing. I mean, Chris Klieman is really hitting on all cylinders. Not a surprise. You know, he was dominant at North Dakota State. But here he is. Reminds me of Bill Snyder in a lot of ways and reminds me of just a modern guy doing it the way that works in today's society. And as I talked to Coach Shane Beamer, a young guy here, I go, gosh, it seems like I'm talking to the same guy. You understand how your dad did it at Virginia Tech. You want to implement as many of those things as possible, but he's doing it in just a friendly way. It's almost like disciplining the players in a way that it will allow them to win without the players realizing they're being disciplined. You guys are parents. Not easy to do, right? Mm-mm. But these guys are really good at it, it appears like.
Stan, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll start talking about all this conference realignment stuff. It'll be a lot of fun here. Stan Weber is in South Carolina, not because he's trying to broker a deal, as far as we know, you never know, with K-State joining, you know, he's in ACC/SEC country being in South Carolina. We'll take a break back after this with more from Stan Weber on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. All right, we got Stan Weber with us. He is in Columbia, South Carolina, because his oldest son, Stanton, will be getting married tomorrow. And in the meantime, we've got a union of sorts happening in college football, I guess.
Let's hope their marriage lasts longer than grant of rights.
I think it will. I feel certain it will. Stan, we've only got a few minutes to close out this hour on television, so and then we're going to be able to dive more deeply into this in the next hour. But I'm just curious what your initial thoughts were when you saw this latest news about UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten.
Well, first of all, so we don't have to get into the meat of this, my reaction was a little bit like you. We are here doing a radio show, right? You guys, Todd, you're involved with so many radio shows, it's unbelievable. Glad to have you this morning. But Nate's got the 4 hours to fill every day, and you want to make it interesting, and you keep thinking, hey, what is going to be good for the listeners to have us talk about, right? I mean, that's something you're evaluating all the time. You mentioned that earlier in the week. I just want to say, Nate, how about these Thursday evenings for us? I mean, we've come so many times on Friday mornings during what we'd call off-season if we're talking about football, and even off-season for college basketball. And then we have just the best stuff happening on Thursday night and you get the first chance to talk about it at 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and I'm lucky enough to join you there for part of that time for the initial reaction. And here we go again. I mean, if it's the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night, and we get a talk on Friday morning. And I don't want to go down the whole list, but it's happened about 10 times here in this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again. This is so interesting for anybody who cares about college athletics, okay, and anybody who cares about television rights and business and things like that. It is all mixed together in the craziest way. We'll get into it more. But just, first of all, how ridiculous is it that we've got to this point where Nebraska and Missouri aren't playing in the same conference with KU and K-State, and USC and UCLA are in the Big Ten? The closest school to them is the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Can you imagine the travel that they're going to have? And sure, the football team will be on the biggest, best jets in the world, and the basketball team probably so. But all those other Olympic sports, those poor dominant athletes on the West Coast at USC and UCLA that win so many championships and do such a great job, they're going to freeze their butts off in the spring in the Northeast. Can you imagine every road game is going to be a nightmare? We joke about West Virginia coming back to our part of the country. Forget that. Can you imagine USC and UCLA road games with Nebraska being the closest one? This doesn't make any sense if you don't get into the business of television money and football.
I'm looking at a map, Stan, that somebody said, look how hilariously dumb this looks. And it's a map of the United States, and it's got the little logo of each school in the Big Ten, where they're located. And, I mean, you see these USC and UCLA way over there, and then everybody else way over there. And I saw somebody point out that Rutgers is about the same distance from Iceland as it is from Los Angeles.
There you go.
Iceland to the Big Ten, you know?
Rutgers is the luckiest school in the whole country.
Yeah, they're just a little thing that no one cares about.
The Big Ten.
Yep.
In USC and UCLA, you can understand it. But when they picked up Rutgers and Maryland, like, what? Still, you say, what? That's right. I have to remind myself and probably a bunch of listeners who don't follow this every day, Rutgers is in the Big Ten. You may not even know it, but they are. And no one thinks of them as a place where you need to play basketball, football, or anything else. New York City doesn't even care about them. And they're the State College of New Jersey, down the road, not that far from New York City, and yet they're in the Big Ten. They are the luckiest school in the whole country.
Yeah, from campus, you can see New York City, so that counts. So that's why they're
media markets, baby. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll wrap things up on 38 The Spot. We'll really dive into this with Stan Weber coming up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.